And welcome once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Kerner. It's the 8th of September 2005. We're sort of waiting for a phone call from Jim McCanny. I sort of prearranged an interview with him today. And he may be calling in this hour. On the second hour, we'll be joined with Jeff Bennett. We'll be with us, listeners. And Jeff Bennett has rejoined Republic as well. Where do we begin, people? Where do we begin after all this that's going on and all this setup in place, in my opinion, my thoughts, of weather modification? It's so amazing. Here I see in yesterday's paper that a Mexican Army aid convoy has set out for the U.S. border, and that was on Tuesday. And here's, they're carrying water treatment plants, mobile kitchens, and supplies. And that's in order to feed the victims of Hurricane Katrina. Large Mexican flags apparently were taped to many of the 35 green-painted Mexican Army trucks and tractor trailers as they rumbled northward in what apparently will be the first Mexican military unit to operate on U.S. soil since 1846. And that was out of the paper, people. Just a little section in Wednesday's edition of the Oklahoman. Then we see here evacuees strain budgets. Some states are concerned with cost after the influx of hurricane victims. Well, naturally that would be the case. Naturally that is the case. As I'm watching Vice President Cheney do his thing, and you know once again, where's the situation going to lead to after this? All states are devastated, or 15 states are in a state of emergency. And here we're seeing this direction of martial law being engineered. Engineered, I say, because weather modification, environmental warfare. Environmental warfare is defined as, one, the intentional modification of a system of the natural ecology, such climate and weather. Each system, such as the ionosphere, magnetosphere, Teutonic plate system, and or the triggering of seismic events, earthquakes, or two, to come intentional physical, economic, and psychosocial and physical destruction of an intended target, geophysical or population location, and three, as part of strategic or tactical war. This is this is coming from a project of the Center for Media and Democracy, sourcewatch.org. Weapons developed in secret. We'll cover this. NMOD, the NMOD Treaty. We'll understand what the NMOD Treaty is. We'll cover the Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques. This is if Jim McKinney does not show up on this first hour today. We've got to cover that UN treaty. Because it's a reality, and that's why everything's secretive, because of the NMOD Treaty, the countries that have signed the NMOD Treaty. Environmental modification, listeners. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. If you have some pertinent information you want to bring forth, pertinent, I say, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back. State Department listeners, they're working with other U.S. government agencies to evaluate and distribute nearly $1 billion in cash and assistance pouring into the United States from 95 countries around the world in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. Okay, we're very fortunate to be joined with Jim McCanny, Thank you for joining us, sir.
Oh, Chris, yeah, I can just stay a minute. I'm running here.
Are you finding yourself being in demand right now?
Yeah, it's getting crazy, but I did want to go on for just a minute.
And
we can talk about another time. Today just didn't work out for me.
Okay.
The amount of misinformation out there is just staggering, and I'm sure you're aware of that. And especially regarding weather manipulation, there's so many people out there that literally do not know what they're talking about, you know, that are spouting off all kinds of things, up to the point that it doesn't even exist.
Uh-huh.
So the point I want to make is, buyer beware when you're on the internet or listening to so-called, people who are putting themselves up as experts. And what I find is that a close examination, these people have no credentials of any kind, let alone to talk about these, you know, very detailed topics.
Uh-huh. And certainly you're seeing these manipulated directions for a purpose, aren't you?
Well, absolutely. I mean, who, you know, that first of all, that maybe there is no such thing as weather manipulation. I was reading the 1972 United Nations proclamation prohibiting weather manipulation. And oddly enough, it only prevents a country from doing it to another country. It doesn't prevent a country from doing it to its own citizens. Can you imagine that?
I do. Yes, I do. I have studied that as well.
So, they were certainly making proclamations as early as that. So for someone to claim that there is no such thing is beyond bizarre. Or other people making claims that it's another country and that we're in a weather war. Like, say, for example, Russia. Russia has not had any adverse weather at all. So if we're in a weather war, why are they not having adverse weather, too?
Yes. Now, I seem to take this to the Security Council of the UN system, where this is being engineered, as Russia's on top of that with China and our country even. But I seem to think that, according to the research I've done, that apparently there's mandates for population reduction around the world.
Right.
Reduce the population.
Right, exactly. No, the significance of New Orleans is, I think what we're seeing happening here, and just to bring it in a nutshell, I think we're seeing another Singapore coming online here, is an international port. Now, if all these countries are giving aid in the World Bank, et cetera, to redevelop New Orleans, you just talked about the $1 billion being given to the people out there. That's to get them out and away and to keep quiet for a little while. The other $49 billion is going in to rebuild New Orleans for the rich.
I see. And sustainable communities.
And, yeah, absolutely. So what we're going to see here is an international port and a tremendous amount of money being made by these international corporations like Halliburton,
yes,
who has already gotten the contract to rebuild the Navy facilities down there.
Yes, and here we see Vice President Cheney running around now, showing himself on the television in this disaster area.
Right. He was very invisible for a long time, and all of a sudden he's emerged. Yes. So you can see that a lot of this, I just received a notice that Bush had signed a presidential edict, or what do you call it? A
decision directive?
Yeah, right, an executive order on Saturday night, giving full control of that area to FEMA.
There you have it. There it is. Right.
Before the storm ever hit.
And people are complaining on the news that FEMA wasn't influential enough at the beginning, so they're going to give FEMA more power like they had before Homeland Security.
Right, but do you understand that FEMA was never meant to go in and save people? They were meant to go in and clear that area out. That was the whole idea.
Yes.
So you have to understand what the directives were, and the people going in and saying that Michael Brown of FEMA should be fired, he did his job.
Uh-huh.
If you look from a corporate viewpoint, he did the job that was given to him, and that was to clear out New Orleans. They did that. And the city was not devastated by Katrina. That is the biggest misnomer being passed around. Katrina did very little damage to New Orleans. It was when the levees blew.
And somebody blew them up?
Yes. No question about it. The levees in seven places blew all at the same time Tuesday morning, 24 hours afterwards. And then you have meteorologists going on saying, well, the surge came from the eye of the hurricane, and No, the surge had long since gone from New Orleans, and a lot of the breaches were on the river and canal side where there was no surge.
Uh huh.
So there's no question in my mind that this was an orchestrated breaching of those levees to flood New Orleans. And when the storm didn't do it, they sent in the demolition experts to take care of the levees.
And now I'm seeing Ophelia being promoted on the news right now, the next one.
Right.
And so this is why it's so important to study and research and expose weather modification and environmental modification, correct?
Well, absolutely. And it's strange that Ophelia is following the path that Katrina should have followed. But instead it made a sharp left turn, went across Miami, then made another left turn out into the Gulf. When it got to the central Gulf, it made a sharp right turn, went almost due north. West of New Orleans, it was actually headed towards the coast of Texas for a while, and then it swung up like a pitcher's curveball going directly towards New Orleans, and as it hit land, it made a 90-degree right turn and went over and hit those two big oil refineries that they needed to take out to bring down the oil distribution in that area, and then it made another sharp left turn to continue going north as if nothing happened.
I see. And isn't that the way the price of gas is now, conducive to that, correct?
Right. I just heard that heating oil and propane will be up, up 70% this winter. So it's being put to the American public, and understand, we are just in the beginning of September. It would be very easy for a country like Venezuela, which has already offered a tremendous amount of support in oil and in natural gas, to provide us with all the fuel we need this winter for a very inexpensive price.
Uh-huh. And that's not going to be allowed on from our country.
That's right.
We won't allow it. And what we're seeing right now is a beginning of more attacks, weather attacks on our country, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a very extreme solar conditions right now. So we do have the solar conditions that are ripe for this ongoing hurricane season. And when I made my prediction early in the summer, actually I said it would be a relatively mild hurricane season, but it depended on solar conditions. And what we're getting are tremendous solar flares, and these are what ultimately drive the hurricanes, the electrical conditions.
I see. And so as we see this is going on now, we can plan on more of these events happening to further cripple our economy?
Well, I would imagine, I can't imagine Ophelia is going to end up in New Orleans, but that's what I've actually heard people talking about.
Hmm.
And Ophelia is already up by the northern Florida on the east coast. So, at any rate, I just wanted to jump on for a minute here, and we can talk about another time when I can come on for a longer period of time.
Okay. Very, very good.
But the biggest point I want to tell people is that the amount of whitewashed news, misinformation, and the other thing that I have to mention is the refugees being displaced in the equivalent of concentration camps being split up. Basically what amounts to an ethnic cleansing of that region.
Makes sense to me.
But at any rate, Chris, let's talk again.
Okay.
And appreciate the opportunity to get on for a minute today.
My privilege to have you with us. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Obviously, people, this is the point that he's talking about, the engineering of all this. And I've been studying this for years. This isn't new to me. This weather modification is not new to me. I've been talking about it ever since I've been on the air and researching to certain degrees. And now the research is very easy to attain. And Dennis and Darren have done the work for us. The weather modification section is growing and increasing right now. Dennis's information is there. And in the State Department, certainly you can see what the State Department's stating. And what are they saying? Officials from the Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, are helping evacuate and channel ready-to-eat meals, rescue teams, and other experts, medical supplies, tents, water purification units, beds, blankets, first aid kits, baby food, wraps, and other supplies for the hungry, hurt, and homeless in Louisiana. And was it an ethnic cleansing operation? Well, here we have the country's most poor people being redistributed throughout the country, and yet it's going to devastate local economies. People are going to take in their new families to help them, but yet they can't even afford to support themselves. Because guess what? Because of the World Trade Organization, our jobs have gone below the border and overseas. And that's just the way it is. All these high-tech jobs that people used to have, and they went to college to attain that degree so they can be proficient in those jobs, they've been outsourced. It's a mess. A major mess. A created crisis, I say. We'll be back to continue. Stay with me. Broadcast. As I keep saying these days, Dennis the Menace is on a rampage. And it should be noted that weather control, as well as weather tampering, is expressly forbidden, dating from at least December 10th, 1976, when the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 31/72, TIAS 9614, the Convention on the Prohibition of Military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques was adopted. The convention was signed in Geneva, May 18, 1977, entered into force October 5, 1978, ratification by U.S. President December 13, 1979, U.S. ratification deposited in New York January 17, 1980. What was that? That was under Jimmy Carter's watch. Listeners, Jimmy Carter was paramount in giving away the Panama Canal. In 1977, listeners. Vicki in Idaho, welcome to the broadcast, Vicki.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
I just wanted to tell people that MSNBC is giving a lot of coverage to this Ophelia tropical storm that's on the that's on its way. And if you watch their report, the storm, it's pretty obvious that the storm is doing some very bizarre things. And also, if you go to www.weather.gov and do a look at the satellite image of the hurricane, you can see where it starts to dissipate, and then all of a sudden it explodes and gets bigger again. It's pretty obvious that there's some kind of modification of some kind going on here.
Some
They're
shenanigans?
Doing something. Yeah, and a few of us online on the Internet are kind of wondering, speculating if maybe Ophelia isn't going to be, you know, a demonstration project, you know, for the coming out party for weather modification, you know, because they already took care of New Orleans, and now I'm kind of wondering, I'm worried about New Jersey, actually, but... because there's lots of refineries there, too.
Well, that is a reason for concern, isn't it?
Yeah.
The more we research, the more we understand what's going on. Most don't do research,
mm-hmm.
but you do, and others that you're connected with do.
Yeah.
And you come to your own conclusions.
And another scary thing is that George Bush has allowed foreign troops on our soil, and I don't mean just Mexican troops. Apparently they're sending in troops from El Salvador and Canada and other countries as well.
And that is just according to plan.
Yeah, and I think he ought to be impeached for treason, because there's no reason to have foreign troops on our soil for any reason whatsoever.
Yeah. Absolutely. And keep in mind that you know, Secretary of Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF. We're the military for the U.N. system over in the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
doing its thing. So connecting these dots is very simple. We don't have enough over here because they're over there.
Yeah.
So here we are in the middle of it.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Vicki. So we see Project Woodpecker pertains to the electron cyclotron resonance heating method, which is designed to, quote, alter the Earth's magnetic field in order to modify weather, create or trigger earthquakes and volcanoes, spread viruses, create the phenomenon known as electromagnetic pulse, and to modify behavior control among the populace, listeners. Project Woodpecker. Project Woodpecker. Lynn in Oklahoma, we have a few minutes before the break. We'll hold you over. Lynn, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Chris. First-time caller.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Hey, fantastic. I just wanted to ask you, Chris, if you have any information on what's going on here in Oklahoma. You know, our governor, Governor Henry's put us under a state of emergency here in Oklahoma, and I hear tell that emergency information booklets are giving out to state workers. Do you have any information on what might be going on here?
I see a camp ready but waiting for guests on yesterday's edition of the Oklahoman,
mm-hmm.
where no question that volunteers from the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma are ready to receive up to 3,000 Louisianans
mm-hmm.
in their southern Oklahoma retreat. In Falls Creek.
Right, yeah, down by Turner Falls.
And then I see Oklahoma Ties in today's paper, and we see where the Department is of Housing and Urban Development are looking for vacant housing here
mm-hmm.
for new residences here. And 50 Hurricane Katrina victims will be attending classes at the Crooked Oak School District. Funds raised to grid games, Rose State reduces tuition. Network to aid evacuees from Shawnee. I haven't reviewed the paper enough to get into it to any certain degree, but I certainly know that we're sort of a cash-strapped state,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to further bring us down. And I think this is the way it is with all the states. This is going to be a tremendous pressure on their economies, and I think this is part of the design process as well.
Well, I've heard those two things, you know, the state of emergency here in the state, and then I'm hearing tell about information booklets being given out to state workers. Could I hold over?
Yeah, please stay with us, Lynn. We'll continue on the other side. This is all vital today, as it is every day. Support this network, people. You have to do this. We have to keep this rolling. Numbers, increasing our numbers of educated people is quite important. The vital point, I say, and John does too. We'll be right back. Here I see in today's paper, 10 tiny unmanned surveillance planes are being pressed into action for reconnaissance over Katrina-ravaged New Orleans in what defense contractors call the biggest civilian deployment ever for the technology. 10 of the unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, have been taking turns this week flying from the New Orleans Naval Air Station and relaying photos of the devastation blow to the Air Force. Oh, yeah. Lynn, continue with your thoughts, please.
Yeah, well, just to finish up, Chris, I'd heard those two things about the state of emergency and then the information booklets being given out to state workers. And, of course, it's been kind of hard to get much information on, you know, any information beyond just hearing, you know, a cursory, just kind of a surface mention of that, because our Oklahoma City media really doesn't do anything but basically just parrot the, you know, the national line, so to speak.
Yes.
And, you know, whether it's, you know, Channel 4, 5, 9, or any of the Oklahoma City stations, you know, they don't do any real investigative reporting, in my estimation. And
correct.
We can't get anything, you know, further than just the mention that, you know, we've been put under a state of emergency.
Yes.
And I was wondering maybe if you had any information, or if anybody had told you anything, or if anything had come across your desk.
We do know it's a state of emergency here,
right.
Correct?
Yes, okay. That's my understanding.
In the paper, they talk about United Way Revised Disaster Fund,
mm-hmm.
and they're on page 7A. The entire page is devoted to how to get help, how to help local fundraisers, and once again, United Way, an NGO of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
So these directions are coming into play for the United Nations system, and that's the point and the problem that most people don't realize. And in Oklahoma, every year they have a gigantic United Way fundraising event towards the end of the year.
That's right.
And so people don't understand what the United Way is all about, but it's proposing to improve people for the United Nations system.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just seems like, you know, it's this progressive train of just silliness around here, you know, because, you know, next Tuesday we're being asked to vote on this fuel increase here in Oklahoma.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, exactly. You know, either 5 cents on gasoline or 7 cents on diesel fuel. I mean, it just never ends around here.
Nope.
I've lived here 28 years. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, it's welcome to the New World Order.
That's exactly right. Chris, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank
you
for calling. Thank you, sir. It is. It's the New World Communist Order. That's what's being engineered here. And I say it goes to the Security Council branch of the UN system, of which Russia and China are partnered and allied. And we are, as well, involved in that. Population reduction agendas to discourage people, to devastate economies. This is what's going on right now. I believe we have John in Michigan. John, welcome.
Can you hear me, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just want to share a story. I live up in northern Michigan, which is up near the top of the lower part. And I have a customer who was sharing a story with me. Her brother, who retired from the UN, was called back when we went into Iraq, when we went into Afghanistan for the tsunami, and he was just called back to Washington as a consultant for the UN concerning logistics. So the UN is totally involved.
Uh-huh. And logistics is for the purpose of strategizing for takeovers?
All types of logistics regarding assistance.
Uh-huh.
And, I just thought I'd share that with you.
Is this happening here?
Yes, he's retired. He's a retired person. Yes, he had to go to Washington, D.C.
Okay, so he's working for the UN right here, right now.
Right. Yeah, he was called back from retirement. They offered him, they made him an offer. He couldn't refuse. He's mm-hmm. supposed to be quite good at what he does. He was called in for the tsunami, Iraq, Afghanistan, as a UN consultant regarding logistics, and he's been called back to work. To Washington, D.C. So.
Well, that's very important information. I hope there's a way that maybe you can keep us updated about his progress.
Oh, well, I'll try to get more out of her.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Very, very important, vital information, maybe coming from John in Michigan. And certainly all this is very, very paramount, very, very concerning to me, as it should be for you. Once again, listeners, we have callers. Let's take John in Florida. John, welcome.
Hey, Christopher. How are you, buddy?
Fine, thank you.
As I'm listening to everybody, I was just sitting here thinking about how you look at this entire monstrosity of everyday events going on, and I just reflected on a gigantic merry-go-round with all these problems going up and down those little horses, and the merry-go-round speeds up faster and faster and faster, and all these, one problem at a time, throws itself off of that little horse going up and down into everybody's arms, and everybody out here is just running around in circles trying to put out the fires at the same time. More problems to put on the merry-go-round go around faster and faster.
Yes, and this is why everyone has to study and research and expose environmental modification.
Yeah. I called today just to bring something out. I know you're going to have Joan Bing on sooner or later. I would hopefully you have her on as a guest.
Yes, yes.
Be sure to make a mental note of this or make a link on your website to special drawing rights. And I bring it up today especially because of the hundreds of thousands of people who have received that debit card from the corporate United States government and that special drawing rights card that they've given, quote, $2,000, what they call cash on. It's not really cash. It's a debit, which a debit is a special drawing right.
Uh-huh.
And this ties into a bigger picture that we're going down the road on into, that sooner or later, if we allow everything to continue, everybody that's looking at these people receiving a card, equal, they will have their own card someday, and they equally will have given to them by whatever omnipotent government will be into place. They will be given credits, too. And this is where we're going.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're correct. This is a sad commentary to have.
Yeah.
And here we are in 2005. The manipulation of all this is well engineered. And that's the exposure point about all this. We're in a debt note society, and yet people are devastated. We couldn't get the country's worst, but we did.
Silent weapons for quiet wars.
There it is.
I'll call you back. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. So Nikola, and hold on, callers, Nikola Tesla conducted the original research on the electron cyclotron resonance heating method. It is asserted that Tesla's work was, quote, later expanded upon by not only Soviet scientists, but also by U.S. scientists, such as Bernard J. Estland. He's a scientist associated with the Atlantic Richfield Oil Company, ARCO. According to tradition, was controlled by members of the Council on Foreign Relations, with Estland as the front man, with a subsequent series of transferals of the patent rights. Quote, the U.S. and the Soviet Union first began secret cooperation on world weather engineering in about 1971. On July 4th, 1976, the Soviets began generating powerful electromagnetic transmissions that were dubbed the Russian Woodpecker by Western ham radio operators. On June 18, 1977, the U.S. government officially became covert partners with the Soviets in these operations by sending them sophisticated scientific material and equipment for further research and development. The secret code name was given U.S. operations was Project Woodpecker. The Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, located in Livermore, California, was and is the main research center for U.S. development of the project. The covert funding for the project was funneled through the CIA and the National Security Agency. The Department of Defense and NASA have, of course, been cooperating in the project from the beginning stages. On January 10th, 1985, there was officially filed a record, a patent number 4686605, entitled A Method, an Apparatus for Altering a Region in the Earth's Atmosphere, Ionosphere, and or Magnetosphere. The patent was approved August 11, 1987. This patent explains and describes the electron cyclotron resonance heating method that is presently being covertly and cooperatively used by the two superpowers to help bring about their coveted New World Order, which is a one-world government. Once a unique resonant frequency is identified in the Earth's mantle, in a particular spot, ELF radio waves can be used to artificially trigger earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and to create high and low pressure weather cells that disrupt and or steer the jet streams. They are capable of creating a phenomenon known as an earth-damaging electromagnetic pulse, an EMP, people. And this is adopted from Project Woodpecker, January 9th, 2005. The beat goes on, listeners. And we are in the middle of it right now. This is the time to expose all this information. Art in Kansas, welcome to the show.
Oh, I hope we have time to expose it.
Me
too. Things are moving so fast.
Me too, you're right.
One thing I haven't heard anybody address is these people in these mini camps generally vote Democratic, as far as I know. And Bush doesn't, and his cronies don't seem to be concerned with any future election, as far as I can see.
Well, I would think George Walker is ready to step down
or stay permanently.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because if they have Democrats controlling things, I wouldn't think he'd be too thrilled.
Well, I just don't, and I haven't for years, I don't see a whole lot of difference between the two. The way the way they're engineered.
No.
And listeners, if you've ever read the book Earth and the Balance, which was probably ghost-written for Al Gore, I would rather have had Bush in office than Al Gore. I'm sorry. But you've got to read Earth and the Balance. And certainly, what are they doing? Agenda 21 in all the countries of the world. And a caller the other day was talking about the fact that this is probably starting down there. Sustainable development communities, rebuilding, and rewilding America is well underway. So all these things aren't being exposed by the media. The media is being quiet about all this, which tells us something's going on, doesn't it, Art?
Oh, well, and did I hear on your show, or was it Alex's show, that the levee was definitely blown up?
Well, you heard Jim McKinney say that.
Okay.
And it was Jackie Petrou covered it last night, evidently. Jim McKinney just stated that it was blown up. According to certain sources, there are witnesses that witnessed it. And I don't know where we're going to get on that. But it may have been discussed on other programs.
I think it has been. I think I heard it on Joyce's show.
Well, we need to expose it because, obviously, look at the devastation out of this, and this is only the beginning, like you say, Art.
Yeah, I know.
A big problem.
I know. But I just thought I hadn't heard anybody address this voting thing, so I just thought that might throw something in.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yes. Let's go to this real quickly, and we'll hold on, callers. Let me change my glasses, as I have to get the quite powerful ones here. We see here the fact that, okay, environmental war, however, and this is regarding weapons developed in secret. Quote, environmental war, however, carried out as almost always a violation of 1977 United Nations Treaty against modification of the environment. Thus, environmental weapons are developed in secret, and acts of environmental war are carried out covertly, as both environmental weapons and war are illegal under international law. Environmental war is generally carried out as a strategic deception or psyops. Environmental war weapon systems can include chemtrails, chemical weapon systems, and that's climate and weather modification, and electromagnetic weapon systems, climate and weather modification, and seismic warfare. Some definitions of environmental war are more broad. For example, the use of depleted uranium in the Yugoslavia war has been termed environmental war. And the source of this information was Ecology News. And you can go to ecologynews.com to search this out. There's also a note here that the 1977 treaty is the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 31/72 TIAS 9614 Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Any Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques. And this is signed in Geneva, May 18th, 1977, entered into force October 5th, 1978, ratification by the U.S. President December 13th, 1979. Now, let's do this, and hang on, callers. Reference to environmental warfare is often made as to NMOD for environmental modification techniques. That's NMOD, people. The term for environmental modification by humans is NMOD, E-N-M-O-D. It refers to altering ocean currents, depletion of the ozone layer, or production of greenhouse gases. Since 1946, NMOD, that's right, since 1946, NMOD has included weather modification, primarily via cloud seeding in attempts to remove fog from airports, make it rain, and augment snowpacks. In the 1950s, NMOD held a convention to prohibit nations from using weather modification as a weapon. Since the 1960s, governments have tried to alter the upper atmosphere by dumping copper needles into the ionosphere, trying to create an artificial ionospheric to enhance the reliability of radio communications. They also tried launching chemicals and suggested batteries, as well as communications enhancements. In the 1950s and 60s, 300 Megatons of nuclear bombs were exploded in the atmosphere, which released large amounts of charged and radioactive particles, as well as over 40,000 electromagnetic pulses. Interesting. Between 1962 and 1983, hurricane modification experiments tried seeding with silver iodide, which seemed to reduce peripheral winds by 10%. Today, radio frequency technology is attempting to use ionospheric heating to change temperature and alter weather. Heating the ionosphere 35 miles above the surface can have the effect of reducing the air density in the region beneath the heating. This would be an effective defense weapon, as incoming missiles would lose trajectory and fall short of their mark. Radio wave used to heat the ionosphere would interact with the charged particles found in that altitude. This would create a magnetic phenomenon known as a mirror force, which would push and section that section of air upward and outward. Ah, yes. The radio waves could change the atmosphere to act as the lens for focusing sunlight and heat in a specific part of the Earth's or manipulate local wind patterns. Oh, man. This is it. Research. Weather modification listeners. You have a computer? Punch it in on your search engine and get to work. We'll be back. Stay with us. Welcome back, listeners. As I was referring to searching out weather modification information on Google, don't even bother. Just go to our website. Darren and Dennis have done all the work for us. It's all there, most of it. It's increasing at this moment, the weather modification information on AmericanExpose.com. Very vital and important. Alan in Texas, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to let you know, just briefly, not to blow your head up too big or anything, but I sure enjoy look forward to hearing your show come on every day.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. My daughter worked as a temporary worker down at the, used to be called the Texas TNRCC. What was that? The Texas Natural Resources Conservation Commission. Well,
that's
a mouthful.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they called it train wreck, TNRCC.
That's but, just right out of Agenda 21.
I was asking her, I was telling her about chemtrails, and we had been showing a movie around town here on HARP and chemtrails. And she said, well, Dad, you know, I used to carry papers around down at the TNRCC, and they had an office in there that I took papers to every now and then. And the name of the office was the Weather Modification Department.
Mm.
And so I said, well, how do I find out more about that, Eden? Where is that at in there, and who would I talk to? And she said, well, just go on the Internet and type in State of Texas Weather Modification. So I did. And it was mind-boggling to me how just laissez-faire these people are about weather control.
Huh.
And it says there on their website that, and they have a person that you or I, Chris, we can apply for a license to modify weather and to make it rain more, to make it rain less. And they claim that making it rain more in one area does not make it rain any less in any other area. Now go figure that one out. I mean, you can take a third grader and you say, okay, if you take water away from this cup, what's it going to mean as far as available water to pour into the other? You know, I mean, it's pretty simple math.
Yeah.
But, I think as a method of fighting this from a local level upward would be for more and more and more of us to be taking a look at the state level weather modification. I mean, who gives these people the right to jack with weather? There was a fellow German back in the 40s and 50s, Wilhelm Reich, and Reich was ostracized from every field of study that he ever entered into, which makes him one of my heroes. I mean, he died in prison due to a violation of an American Medical Association against his work studying the relation of atmospheric electrical energy to cancer. And he wouldn't stop his research, and so they threw him in prison where he died. But one of the phases in his life was with a machine he called the Cloudbuster.
Hmm.
And now his theory was that atmospheric, static, we call it static electricity.
Mm-hmm.
He called it orgone energy. It's not electricity. It travels through things like plastic. You rub a comb on your hair, and it'll pick up pieces of paper. And they say that's electricity. Well, it's not, because electricity doesn't pass through plastics, and plastics don't store electricity. This was another type of, you know, atmospheric charge. He called it life energy, orgone energy. He would take concentrations of that energy out of rivers, which were huge collectors of that energy. Water is attracted to orgone. Orgone is attracted to water. It's what, he said, holds the clouds together. You look up in the sky and you see all these little puffballs.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it's not one total diffused haze is because of this electrical charge, the affinity of the water towards the charge that builds these puffballs. And he could manipulate that and calculate when he was going to make it rain, and they had deluges.
Alan, why don't you stay with us for the next commercial pause, can you?
Okay, sure.
Okay, and we'll have Jeff Bennett with us at the conclusion of the next commercial pause after the beginning of the second hour, listeners. Stay with us. We have much to cover. Oklahoma Weather Modification Demonstration Program. It's on our website, American Exposé.